Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
It's your inside pass to everything Saints football.
See you later, bye. Touchdown, Rashid Shaheed.
We'll take you to places most fans never go. To practice, to the sideline, to the locker room. Following every twist, turn, and touchdown of the Saints season.
That is going to be a touchdown, Taysom Hill. Taysom TD.
Welcome to Inside Black and Gold.
To the end zone, and that is a touchdown for Chris Olave.
Now, here are your hosts, Steve Geller and Jeff Nowak.
Oh, baby!
Welcome Inside Black and Gold. Steve Geller, Jeff Nowak on a seven-game losing skid slash coachless edition of the program. Saints moving on from Dennis Allen, and now you have Darren Rizzi taking over in the interim, so not really no head coach.
There's a head coach. Yeah.
Yeah, you just don't have someone in place for the future. Or maybe Riz is that guy. Who knows?
He gone. That's so we're going to go with, yeah, man, we talked about this going in. A loss to the Panthers and tear it all down, burn it to the ground. Like, you can't come back from that, you know, And I'm just going to say this right now. We don't really have an agenda here. Usually we'll sit and come up with a plan. What are we going to talk about? How are we going to break this down? In this case, I think we just talk for however long we talk for, take a break, talk for however long we talk for again, take another break, and then go into the mailbag and hit on some questions, because that's really all we need to talk about is Dennis Allen is fired. Darren Rizzi is the interim head coach. And we've talked about this before. He was the obvious option for a couple reasons. One, because, hey, you're talking about a guy who's been here for 4 years, 5 years at this point. I think he started in 2019 under Sean Payton. He's also a special teams coordinator. And going with the special teams coordinator as the interim is the common sense play, because he has relationships with both sides of the ball, with everyone on the roster. And the main goal in this scenario is not, hey, we're going to go on an 8-game winning streak. We're going to make the playoffs. We're going to fix it all. We're going to be perfect. It's how can we prevent this from coming completely unglued? How can we prevent this from the team fracturing and chewing on the walls and just tearing it all down, right? Like, how can we prevent that? Darren Rizzi gives you the best chance to do that. And we'll hear from Darren in this episode. But, man, as much as I was like, hey, they really have to fire the head coach, as much as I was like, they really don't have another option, it has to happen, I still didn't necessarily believe it was going to happen until it happened. Like, I was still kind of sitting there this morning like, are they really going to fire the coach? Like, they've had so many opportunities. It's like a bad relationship where it's like it kind of goes in waves, and when it's at that bottom point, you can break through and you can end it and you can just get away clean. But if you wait too long and it kind of goes back up again, you're like, well, now if I break it off, I'm just a jerk. You know, I think that's what happened last season, right? Like, you had that moment where you could have been like, ah, we're done. This is not working. Then it kind of came back up and you're like, oh, wow, okay, well, maybe we can work this thing out. It didn't work out. It only got worse. And then that peak really just hit the ground into a valley that is completely through the floor. But we're here, man.
I'm interested to see and hear more of the power of Saints Nation, because they got Spencer Rattler to start this year. You got Dennis Allen fired. What else is next, Black and Gold? Come on.
Wait, we're giving the fans credit from starting Spencer Rattler.
That's the guy they drafted. They willed that into existence.
Yeah, they spoke an oblique injury into existence.
And it happened, right? Yeah, it's like, all right, I shall
put it in the universe, and they came down with it.
And then somehow he leaped ahead of Haener, but until it was time to go back to being a backup, and then he was a third string. So I still don't understand that mess too.
I mean, I understand it. It's just what they did. Like, this is what I thought was going to happen when they drafted him. But either way, we're not talking about Rattler, because even Darren Rizzi, you know, he had the opportunity to kind of slow play it, and he almost did. He kind of did for a second. He was right. Like, we haven't had any personal conversations yet. This has been a whirlwind. We're going to figure some of this stuff out. And then he kind of got pressed on a little more, and he was like, Derek Carr is going to be our quarterback. And he should be. Like, nothing you saw in that 3-week stretch will make you believe. And we didn't have our typical post-game pod. I thought that Derek struggled in that game, but even struggling, he was a far better option than what you had seen the previous 3 weeks. Like, that's why, you know, from a performance perspective, it's like, he was exactly fine. Like, he wasn't good, but he wasn't terrible. And I have been desensitized to terrible. Like, my brain has been set to terrible. So I watched like this scuffling offense against one of the worst defenses in the NFL. And I was like, eh, it's not that bad. You know, like, we scored, we actually got points. You know, that just shows how bad it was. It just kind of underscores like how ugly things had gotten. And you really saw it, like, the players, they're going to say their lines, you know, they're going to give you the, oh, okay, we're all keep chopping wood. And you know, even that became kind of a running joke, but you know, they're going to give you, oh, we're bought in, man. I bleed black and gold, whatever, whatever. But it's like, even when they're saying it, you can kind of see behind their eyes. It was like, they don't mean this. Like, it's not resonating. It is not landing the way that it would, if you believed it. And that to me was the biggest tragedy of the Dennis Allen era, the biggest failure of the Dennis Allen era, is just reading the room and understanding how to be a person with human emotions and understanding how you need to approach certain situations, like how you can it. Like, every time I heard DA talk throughout his entire coaching tenure, it kind of felt like I was talking to an AI chatbot that was just responding based on a series of ones and zeros. And it was like, this is how a human would respond to this. So this is what I'm going to say. And that's why listening to Darren Rizzi today was so kind of, wow. This is a guy who understands like why he's saying the things he's saying. And like, when he says stuff, I believe it. Anyway, I know I'm rambling here, but this has been so long coming, and it feels like kind of a weight has been lifted of like, this was not getting better. It was not going to get better. And I don't think this is going to make it better. You might win a game. You might get that kind of interim coach bump, or, you know, guys kind of have that boost of energy, then you're going to kind of fall back down. Like, I think there's still a lot of serious problems with this team, but this move today at least kind of creates the vision for how you cycle back and how you kind of reset the deck and find ways to improve and find ways to rebuild your roster and find a path forward that, as long as you were staying with the status quo, you could not see. There was no path ahead. And I don't know, I feel like you can at least chart that path now.
The biggest issue too with what we were seeing, besides just seven, you know, straight losses with this squad, you just saw so much regression with the defense. And that was Allen's obviously calling card as the head coach / really defensive coordinator. That's how we know he's cut his teeth in this league. And I'm sure he'll go on to probably do that somewhere. But for whatever reason, this season, just as a whole, that unit, there's been hard to see any positive, except maybe takeaways that they've been able to generate.
Yeah, and you know, you're just agreeing with Tyrann Mathieu here, because that's basically what Tyrann Mathieu said. It's like, if you are on the defense, you should feel responsible for getting your head coach fired.
Right.
And this is kind of Tyrann talking about that today.
I mean, it's tough, man. I think anytime you lose as many games as we've lost in a row, I mean, a lot of questions have to get answered. you know, things have to change. But like I told the defensive back unit, man, like, man, if you don't feel bad, like something's probably wrong with you. You know, like I absolutely believe that, you know, defensively, we played probably the biggest role in, you know, him getting fired. You know, like to go from a really good defense to a defense that's really kind of unrecognizable. You know what I mean? Like as far as our standard goes, yeah, man. Like that's tough. And I think we defensively played the biggest role. You know, with the way we played, the way we didn't close out games. You know, tackling has kind of been an issue for us really all season. You know, I felt like we were able to take the ball away. We just didn't really capitalize on it too often, you know? So I think defensively, man, like we probably played a bigger role, you know, in him not being here anymore.
And it's hard to disagree with that. Cause here's the thing. If you were out there struggling to score points, but your defense was dominating and, you know, keeping you in games and you were losing because, you know, you didn't have a starting quarterback and you felt like that was the only thing holding you back, then DA probably still has a job. Because that means his message is still resonating. That means his plans are still working. That means people are still taking him seriously. It started to feel like, you know, and you hear this, they'd say, like, we're playing for each other. You know, that whole, like, you know, it's kind of coded messaging. But, like, players don't want to put out bad tape. Even if they don't believe in the head coach, they're going to still go out there and play hard. But you can see it. You can feel it. You can sense it when the team is going out there waiting to be beat, waiting to see how they're going to find a way to lose today. And that's what that was in that game. Like, I don't know if it's possible for you to have dominated that game more than you did, and you still lost it.
Those post-game stats are unreal.
They don't make sense. And we don't even have to go through them. Like, one of the best things about what happened today is we don't have to like talk about that game at all, because it's like it happened in the shadow realm to a different team in a different universe.
Right? The Men in Black mind eraser, please.
And all you can do is move forward from it.
Something about playing the Panthers.
Hey, all I can say is, like, this had to happen. And it was inevitable. Like, you could feel it. Like, once you got to, like, 5-6 losses, the only question in my mind was, can you find a way to drag this out to the end of the season so that you don't have to deal with the chaos of an interim head coach and trying to figure all that out? And a win over the Panthers may have done that, or may have, like, gotten you to the point where you could see the light at the end of the tunnel. Because 8 games is a long time to be under an interim head coach, man. Like, you don't want to give half your season to an interim head coach. Thankfully, the Saints have someone in-house that has that level of institutional familiarity.
That Riz.
And Darren Rizzi, and we'll hear a quote from him in a minute here. And Darren Rizzi is that guy. Like, I think if you didn't have Darren, if you had a first-year special teams coordinator and you're looking at, who do we make our interim head coach? Is it Joe Woods? Is it Clint Kubiak? These first-year guys, second-year guy? That would have been a much harder decision to make. And I think that Mickey didn't want to make it. I think he had his hand forced a little bit. And you could see it in his announcement of the firing, talking about an avalanche of injuries. I'm like, you're firing the guy. Just say thanks. Go away. He's out there saying, like, he never made excuses, so I'm going to make them for him. Like, this isn't the time. Read the room. It's over. But
the holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first 3 orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't know.
I think the sentiment obviously is that DA is a good dude. And it's kind of hard to let go of somebody that's a good person, but this is business, right?
Right. And he is, like, I don't dislike, like, that's the thing. Like, people want to trash DA, and, like, you can trash him as a coach. You can trash the track record, but he's not a bad guy. Like Sean was genuinely just not a nice person, you know? And a lot of head coaches aren't like good people. That doesn't mean they're good head coaches if you're a nice person, but it does make you like, you're going to look back at this tenure and like, that really sucked. But it also shouldn't color what he was able to do for this team. And Tyron talked about that too. Like, you know, remember where this team was in 2015? Remember how bad that defense was? Like the fact that you were able to create a scenario that Drew Brees was, you know, even remotely close to a Super Bowl at the end of his career, and you can argue it got robbed from him. The defense that was reasonable, that was competitive. And he was a big part of that. Like, I've had people today tell me, like, because I think in a couple of years, we're going to be talking about Dennis Allen being the defensive coordinator of a Super Bowl contender, maybe the Lions, because Aaron Glenn's probably going to get a head coaching job. But either way, like, we're going to be talking about Dennis Allen being like, what a great defensive coordinator he is. We're going to be talking about him in the same sentence as a Steve Spagnuolo. I genuinely believe that. And people are like, they have nothing in common. Well, first of all, the schemes are the same. Like you look at what Spags is doing out in Kansas City. There's a reason the Saints keep taking Chiefs defensive players. The schemes are very similar. And also, like, Spags was a terrible head coach, but he is a great defensive coordinator. And I think you're going to see that. Like, I don't know how long it's going to take DA to land a job like that, but it's going to happen. And people are just so angry right now that they're forgetting, like, the fact that he had that job in the first place was because they didn't want to lose him as a defensive coordinator, because he would have left. And was that the right call? Probably not, obviously, hindsight. But at the same time, like, I am genuinely worried for what happens to this defense over the next several years, because you could just as easily go back to the nightmare scenarios that you had in the 2015s.
I'm not concerned, but I'm curious to find out what's going to really happen now with the trade deadline, just like knock, knock, knocking at the door. And what do you become serious sellers now and just kind of really hit that reset button for whoever else you have coming in?
Yeah, we could talk about that a little bit more, but like, I think Marshawn is the only player that I look at and like, as long as a team is willing to look past the injuries and convince themselves that, like, oh, this is not a significant injury and maybe he is just quitting on the team. But then you're like, is that the guy we want? Do we want a guy that's not playing through injuries and doesn't seem committed? So, like, are you going to get an offer that's worthwhile?
Right, I hear you.
I think to me, Marshawn is the player that gets traded. But I don't think you're going to get a lot for him. The funny thing is Alvin is probably the best in terms of what a team would be trading for, in terms of like, okay, what is worth a team giving up assets to go get, and who is the player that you could actually fetch enough assets for to make it make sense? It would be Alvin. It'd be the guy who just tied his career high in rushing yards at a 200 yard game. I don't think it's going to happen because like you need someone right to watch. Like you need a player to watch. But if they did trade Alvin, think about this. He's 11 yards shy of being your franchise rushing leader. Can you imagine if that's how he didn't get it? Because they fired that coach and then we're like, let's trade him.
Right. He's our biggest asset. What can we get?
I kind of feel like Alvin would retire if they tried to trade him.
What if it was to Denver?
You think Alvin wants to go live in Denver?
Yeah.
No, he does not.
I think it seems like a good time. Sean's out there.
Come on, man. It's cold. He's a Southern man. He does not want to go live in Denver and breathe that thin air. No, it's, you know, people like think Alvin's a guy who wants to ring chase. Alvin, to me, it's like if Alvin didn't feel like he wanted to play football tomorrow, he would just retire. I don't think the ring is what's gonna do it for him.
Well, for me, it's more of obviously the Peyton effect.
I don't see that because I think if they tried to trade him, he would retire. I genuinely do, and so I don't know. Like,
I'm going to NASCAR.
Yeah, he's got so many irons in the fire. He plays football because there's certain people who play football because they're just obsessed with football. They're gym rats and they just need it. Alvin plays football because he's elite at it. I don't think because like it's like his whole being the way it is for some guys. But either way, like I don't know. I don't see them being active at the trade deadline, particularly in large part because I just don't think they have the pieces that will bring an offer worth trading for, worth making the move.
Maybe Alante.
I'm not trading Alante. Alante's like one of the, I'm build it all out of Alante.
What teams might be looking for?
Yeah, but I'm not trading Alante.
Well, like, I mean, depends on what you're getting.
No, it doesn't, because the offer's not going to be there. You're not getting premium offers at the trade deadline. You're getting, hey, do you want to move on from this guy offers? Like, you're getting, do you really want to deal with Marshawn anymore offers? You're not getting 2 first-round picks or a first and a second or anything like that. You're getting bargain bin offers.
What if the Arizona comes calling for Cam Jordan?
You just fired your head coach. Which of these players were the head coach's player offers? No one's coming for Cam Jordan. Not on that contract. No one's coming for DeMario on that contract. No one's coming for Tyron on that contract. So I don't see it. The funny thing is, and I said this before, Chase Young is the guy that if a team was,
I can see him being moved.
If a team was like, we need pass rush help.
What's out there on the cheap?
Yeah, and this is not going to blow out your salary cap any worse than it already is.
Yeah.
You can get a fourth rounder. I'd probably do it.
For sure. I'm definitely in the mode now where I am ready to just reset it, clean house, see what you can get for whatever. And then I don't know. Then you go through the interview process of rebuilding back with head coach and see what he wants to do.
Yeah. To me, the rest of the season, it's about finding out what you have in certain players. And the funny thing is, you'll ask Darren about, like, hey, how do you evaluate for the future? How do you look at that? He's not going to do that. He's looking at this 8 games because this is the only 8 games he's guaranteed. So he's going to be like, hey, I need to put my best foot forward so maybe I can get a head coaching job, because I'm not even guaranteed to stay on as the special teams coordinator next year.
Absolutely.
Because, a new coach, you bring in, say, Bill Belichick.
I got my guy.
Just for an example, like, you think he's going with your special teams? No, he's bringing in his guy. And like, you have to commit to, like, if you're trying to hire a head coach and that head coach that you want says, no, I know who I want. I know my guy. I'm bringing my guy. You have no leg to stand on. You can't be like, oh, but we really like this guy. You'd be like, he's
all right. Bye.
Fine. Bye. I don't know if you're talking about Vrabel, you're talking about Belichick, you're talking about Gruden.
You're rumblings with him having been an advisor for this squad for sure. Yeah.
The team just isn't going to have the leverage in that situation. So if I'm Darren Rizzi, I'm like, I got to go out and show this. And, he's been in an interim situation before. He's never been the interim head coach, as far as I can tell. Like, Dan Campbell was his head coach in Miami when Joe Philbin got fired. Oh, I can't recall who the other one was. Tony Sperano got fired, and it was Todd Bowles, who was the interim head coach. So, like, he knows what it's like to deal with an interim, but not necessarily be the leader. And the interesting thing, too, is you look at Foster Moreau, and he's a guy who actually has experience in both college and the NFL dealing with interim head coaches. And in both instances, it went very well. Ed Ogeron, obviously, at LSU, ended up getting hired into that job, went on to win a national championship. And with the Raiders, Derek Carr was on that team. That was 2020. John Gruden stepped down because of the whole email scandal thing. And Rick Bisaccia took over, special teams coordinator. And they went on, I think they won their last 5 games. They made the playoffs, lost to the Bengals in the first round. Bengals went to the Super Bowl that year. So, like, there's some understanding of what this process is like, and we'll see how it goes.
I thought it was kind of interesting. Rizzi brought up the fact that, special teams coordinators, they had that interaction with both sides of the football. So it's kind of a little bit of an advantage to him that he has relationships with most of these guys, I would think, if not all of them already.
Yeah, that's why you go with a special teams coordinator, right? Like, that's why it makes sense. Like, if you're asking Clint Kubiak to take over, suddenly your offensive coordinator is dealing with the defense after half a season of only focusing on the offense. That's a tougher situation. It's tough for anybody. Like, let's be real. Like, these are not easy situations to deal with. Like, it's a whirlwind. Like, he didn't know. It's not like you went into last week thinking like, hey, I might be the head coach on Monday. Like, no, you found this out this morning, and you're, I mean, maybe last night if you got, if you got a heads up that's like, okay, it's coming down the pike. But like that, this firing officially happened this morning. So like all day today, you're like scrambling, you're having team meetings, you're trying to, you know, assure your players that they're in a good way. You're trying to meet with all the staff that you don't deal with on a regular basis. Being a head coach is a lot.
One thing, and you mentioned Dan Campbell, I just want to bring up, a lot of folks are saying, oh, he's like the coach that got away. Sean was still running the show when Campbell left for Detroit. So it's not like, you know, there was that, you missed him because you hired Dennis Allen instead kind of thing.
Yeah. The question I have that I don't necessarily know the answer to is like, if you had committed to Dan Campbell after Sean Payton, like if, but you don't know how, you didn't know at the time how long Sean was going to coach for. I guess the question would be, if Dan Campbell was here in 21.
I got you. Right. Yeah. Would he have gotten it over Dennis?
Who would you have picked? And I'm not convinced they would have gone with Dan Campbell. I think they probably still would have gone with Dennis Allen, just because it's like, what is Dan's technical job? Like, what was he? Was the tight ends coach?
And I think he was the assistant head coach.
He was, but like, he's a unique kind of head coach, because normally like, oh, is he a defensive head coach? Is he an offensive head coach? Is he a special teams head coach? Like, Dan is like kind of just a vibes head coach. And don't say that to be negative. Like, he doesn't call, he never called plays on offense. He never called plays on defense, but he's an excellent head coach. So you can do it in a lot of ways. You know, John Harbaugh, special teams coordinator, just kind of an interesting dynamic of like what makes a good head coach. And, you know, usually you'll see offense, and there's some good reasons for offense, but yeah.
Sean definitely obviously saw it in him after being just the interim head coach with the Dolphins, bringing him on board with the Saints. And then obviously now, I mean, obviously Detroit's like the most electric team in the NFC at this moment.
Right. Yeah. Dan was the tight ends coach for 4 years. So like that was his role. You don't see a lot of tight ends coaches ascending to a head coach role. Like, that doesn't happen very often. And obviously the assistant head coach thing, the fact that he had been an interim, but that's why this is a big deal for Darren, because, you know, one of the reasons as a tight ends coach, you're able to parlay that into a job is that interim season that you took, yeah, or the portion of that season that you coached as an interim, that, you know, you can say, hey, this went well, I understand how to do it, give me an opportunity. They gave him an opportunity, and he took advantage of it.
And he wants it. He's interviewed for head coaching gigs before.
He interviewed for the Saints head coaching gig when they gave it to Dennis Allen. But yeah, no. And I don't know how the rest of the season is going to go. They could lose the next 8 games, but that wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. Right. So you kind of feel like, hey, I'd like to see some positivity. I kind of feel like at some point, and, you know, I feel like you'll give Derek Carr a couple more games if you win those games and you continue, you get on a winning streak, which I don't see happening, but you get on a winning streak, then I think you stick it out. If not, I kind of feel like you have to go to the rookie again.
Did you see that stat that Derek Carr is now the only quarterback to get his head coach fired twice with two different teams?
He's also the only quarterback in NFL history to lose to 31 different NFL teams.
Yeah,
who's, I kind of feel left, like,
who's just left on his list?
The Raiders.
Saints? Oh, the Raiders, duh.
Yeah, the Saints shut him out. It's only the Raiders because he played for him for 11 years, 10 years, 9 years, whatever it was. What they should do is, even if they end up benching Derek to give the young guy a shot to kind of get another few games under his belt, they should let him start against the Raiders just to to see what happens.
He can get the final Infinity Stone.
Might as well make it an even 32. Who wants 31? Put that record to, you know, run away with that record and hide.
Yeah, the Carr family has had some rough records in the, you know, over the years.
Dude, you know, the funny thing is, one, there is a player. So there's 9 other players, I want to say, that have lost to 30 different NFL teams. Drew Brees is on that list. So it's like, It's not necessarily, oh, these guys must be terrible. Part of it is just a longevity thing. Like, if you play in the NFL long enough, you're going to rack up losses to a lot of different teams.
And if you're with, obviously, one organization for a good amount of time, and then you spend, you know, the other half there, with, like Drew had, obviously, from Chargers to Saints.
Right.
You know, there's a good amount of opponents in there that are different that you played a lot. So
I think one of the teams that did the Saints beat the Drew when he was there? I can't recall. But I don't know if Drew is on that list. Either way, it's a whole thing. And I'm you know, again, it's like I don't like the idea of celebrating that a guy had the worst day of his, you know, of his working life. Like, that sucks, you know. At the same time, I think it's a positive thing what happened today. It had to happen for this organization to move forward. DA is going to land on his feet. And at the end of the day, and this is a bit the last thing I say about it, like the take that I have agreed with throughout this whole process, Dennis Allen is an excellent defensive coordinator. He's not a good head coach. And that's just the fact of how some people like the, Steve Spagnuolo, like that's one of the reasons.
Percentage.
I'm sorry.
The third worst winning percentage of all time.
Yeah, and I mean, like, it's became clear, and you gave him a fair shot, and that's why I can't be mad at the Saints not firing him after a 9-8 season. Like, you I think you earned that, and you kind of, when you hire a head coach and you give him a 3-year contract, going 9-8 in year two, you know, like, I can't be mad that they gave him that shot. But at a certain point this season, it became very, very clear that that shot was not going to turn into something good. And I don't care how many names you write down on an index card, how many sticks of gum you decide to chew, it's not going to change. And so whether it happened in week 9, whether it happened in week 18, whether it happened, you know, in January or February, it was going to happen. And at least now we can move forward knowing that, because I think that was the fear for a lot of Saints fans. They needed it to happen now, because in their head, if it didn't happen now, it wasn't going to happen. And I kind of felt like it's going to happen either way. That's why I didn't get too worked up about it. But it's here. It's over. Now we can start to talk about how do you build this thing back up, as opposed to look how fast it got torn down.
I thought it was going to be the old, you know, win a couple, lose some, turn around, win some, lose some. Obviously, the lose some is just stuck of late, and that was ultimately definitely the death blow for him. I didn't think it was going to happen this season either, but I agree. I was like, at the end of the year, they'll make the swap. They'll make the move somehow.
I don't think Mickey wanted to. I genuinely don't. I think he got his hand forced by the fact that you just had one of the worst losses in team history to one of the worst teams you'll ever play.
To the Carolina Panthers, when you outgained them, outplayed them, and then still somehow you won the turnover battle, you won time of possession, you won yards.
You didn't just win, you dominated. Like, if it was close, you'd be like, yeah, okay, you know, 350 to 340, like, whatever, you won, but you won by 150 yards. You know, you won by 10 minutes in time of possession. The best part was Lonnie Johnson. Remember Lonnie?
Yes, yeah.
Going on Twitter and having arguments like, yeah, who's the worst now? I'm like, so you're celebrating being the second worst?
Yeah. Did you see Colin Saunders responded to him?
Yeah, I did. And it's like, we're embarrassed by what just happened. You should be too.
Right.
Like, well, that was the funniest part, is Panthers fans trying to dunk and be like, guys, like, we're down bad, but y'all have lived down bad for years.
they needed their moment.
I can't be mad at him. It's just funny. Like, Lonnie, I don't think you're making the point you think you're making. But all right. Well, let's wrap this segment up. We'll come back. We'll hear from Darren Rizzi. I know I promised that already, but we just kind of got on a tangent. We're going to hear quotes from Darren Rizzi's press conference, which I enjoyed. I thought he did a good job. We'll come back in the final segment, do a mailbag. This is Inside Black and Gold, kind of a weird edition. We're not doing our three up, three down. That is on the site. That is on WWL. I did write it. So if you're craving to find out how I possibly found three positives to talk about, it was tough in that game. You can go check it out at WWL.com, but I'm not going to force you to sit through it here.
I'm going to guess that Alvin was leader of the positives.
I can tell you right now, Alvin, Alante, and Blake Groupie,
okay,
who is quietly had a very, very good year, albeit that one missed PAT. And he's 16-17, 94% makes on field goals. That's what I asked him to do. He did it. So he's one of them. Anyway, but yeah, I'll build it all out of Alante Taylor's. Give me more, as much Alvin Kamara as I can get. Let him take that record and run away and hide with it. And we'll do all the rest. But all right, Inside Black and Gold, Jeff Nowak, Steve Geller. It's a new era, everybody.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.